You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenthal. With me, I've got the good, sweet golden boy. I'm talking, of course, about 365 Days of Horror, as we're going to call him, Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
I am drop-dead gorgeous. How are you?
You know, feeling moderately attractive. But it's not just us. We finally have the crew reconvened. We got Brenna Side in the mix. Brenna, how you doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I am the seltzer usurper. What's up, baby?
Man, I was like, fuck, I don't have time to get a seltzer this morning. You won out me.
Yeah. Usually I make careful sure to open my can long before we start rolling so as not to, step on your dick anyway. But yeah, man, I'm doing good. I'm glad to have the crew back. It's actually been quite a while since we all three were on a show together.
It's 6 months or so now.
at least. Yeah, it's been a weird year for everybody. So
pretty much now we're in the year end swing of things. So, you know, if you've been following the show for a long time, Lord help you.
Yeah.
But that means that, one of the regular shows that we do at the end of the year is we play some of our personal favorite tracks from the year on this program. This one generally gets about like a quarter of the listens that our next show will get, which is we play the top total streamed rock and metal songs of the year. Everyone loves that because we just make fun of fucking Papa Roach.
I think that we should just change the format of the show for next year. From here on out forever, we're only going to do like the biggest metal songs of the week every week.
We would probably get a lot more listens that way, I think.
Yep.
What do you think, Jordan?
I mean, that's just liquid metal, isn't it?
Yeah, but the difference is they're very excited about this, whereas our tone is like, oh, no, it's Sully Erna again.
The difference is that they have to be nice to these bands, and we don't.
That's true. I feel like we might be rolling the dice with more copyright strike downs or whatever, but, you know, it could be worth it. You know, juice could be worth the squeeze on this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've always worried about that. Every single time I insert a song into the track, I'm just like, here we go, baby. Well, please end it.
It really did bum me out last week seeing everybody post their Spotify Wrapped, not because I have any kind of like major ideological concerns. I'm not that self-important.
Please.
It's just because our podcast doesn't show up on Spotify because of that reason.
right.
So all of these people are like, I listened to, you know, 1,000 minutes of this podcast when it could have been the toilet podcast instead, you know?
Right. But they're going to listen to 1,000 hours of it this year, you know, just they're going to pick up as many tabs on the internet as possible to get to where we need to be. And they're going to click play. And, you know, it's just a few mouse clicks away. You guys can do it, please.
I mean, that's how you quit your job. You set up the intercom in the big department store you work at, and you just open up all the tabs you can possibly have and click play on one of our podcasts. So we're just echoing throughout a Cal Doors or something.
Right.
Yeah. If you're trying to, you know, duck out of your Wendy's that you've been the only person working at for 3 months now, for, you know, 90 hours a week, I think that's the best way to do it. Just, you know, hook up, you know, some headphones to the monitor you're using for the drive through and, you know, let everybody coming through know what time it is.
Man, stay at the Wendy's. I need that burger. Okay. I'll sit in the drive through for 48 minutes to get it.
Yeah, if you're working in fast food right now, just quit your job. It's the best thing for everybody.
Don't listen to him. But what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you guys how you wanted to handle the format of this one. I mean, we've only done this exact format 4 or 5 times, so I wanted to get some guidance from you. Do we want to, you know, do an opening track now? Do we want to go ahead and bullshit for 15 minutes? I'm open to what you guys would like.
I think longtime listeners of the show would all agree unanimously that 15 minutes of bullshit is the format. So
yeah, you don't want to mess up with winning formula, you know?
Right. Let's do that thing. So let's do a round table, see how everybody's doing. I'm gonna give Jordan the mic for once and just be quiet and listen politely as he explains how he's been doing.
Well, the reason why I've been off for the past couple weeks is people who are actually pay us money to listen to our bonus episode will know I've been moving stuff out of my dad's house for the past couple of weeks, pretty much by myself. So take an entire house of thoughts and memories and feelings and just say, here you go, put it on your back. You're doing it all. And that's what I've done. And I'm done with that. It's not done until someone else moves in and everything's 100% finalized. But, the moving out part is done. I've gotten rid of countless things, donated, given away, went to the side of the road with a big free sign. And, people were happy to get their greedy mitts on extension cords and weed whackers and plates and other stuff. And the rest of it was going, oh, I remember this thing that my dad saved for 30 years. Into the garbage it goes because I can't take it with me. So I am tired.
But you did a good job. You're almost done. This is another just horrible Sisyphean task that you can put behind you soon.
And then it's on to the next thing, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Understandable. Things may be a little bit less groovy in the horror household for right now, but we'll get back on top in 2022, right?
Oh, you're being serious?
Breno, roundtable discussion. What's up with you? Go.
So I have had my midlife crisis complete this week. I have decided that the fun little toy car coupe that I bought way back in April, which I didn't even realize I've had it that long, I'm going to trade it in for something that makes somewhat sense for who I am and what I do on a daily basis, because sports cars, they don't really do it. Luckily for me, I'm in a situation where, or I guess we're all in a situation where used cars are like super inflated. So I got more money than I paid for it to turn it in. The unfortunate side of that is I had to end up with something that's, a little bit older and maybe a little bit higher mileage than I probably would have ideally wanted, but that's okay. I got a lower monthly payment. My insurance is going to be lower. So, back to adulthood for me.
Well, you can also use that lower payment on your insurance in your car to do the next logical step, which is to buy a slick Japanese motorcycle.
No. No, I'm just going to accept that death is inevitable and my youth is over. So I'm going to let that one go. But I'm probably going to use that money that I'm saving on much more adult and reasonable ambitions, like, buying all the guitar pedals I need for when I'm inevitably a rock star someday.
Yeah, that makes, that's right. What else are you stacking paper for if not for that?
Yeah, right. Yep. So a bit of a bummer, it's kind of the end of an era, but my back is going to be much happier when I sit in a car that can fit me.
Yeah, is it really an era if you've had it for less than a year?
I'd say so. It's just like I lived out this fantasy that I've had since I was a young boy. You always want to have the coolest car possible when you grow up. And once you actually cross that threshold and find out what all the drawbacks for having the sweetest thing possible are, reality kind of hits you in the face. And so I'm back to reality and oh, there goes gravity.
So you're going to end up dating Pete Davidson for 3 months,
3 weeks, tops.
I'm glad that you got to have your summer of George at least. and you can move on from there.
You could take out the earring. You could undo the skullet ponytail and you're ready for the Dodge Caravan.
Exactly.
Perfect. Yeah. Now, the summer of George is over and the winter of Breno begins. So brace yourselves.
but we all got to sow those wild oats from time to time. Fellas, I'm a week away from my house fully closing. Some other asshole is going to live here. Yesterday I found a giant soaked portion of the wall. This would be after they did the inspection and all that stuff. So I found a cool new flaw. cut into the drywall, found a leak, had to hire a plumber to come out here and gouge me. And now I'll get to spend a week instead of enjoying the last moments in this place that I've lived in the last 5 years, redoing drywall. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the best way to send yourself out of a home that you've loved and lived in for so long is just be fucking miserable in it for as long as possible.
Exactly. I did that thing, the financially irresponsible thing where I was like, I know I've got money coming my way, so I'm going to make a purchase that I really wanted. And then you do that. And then 5 seconds later, you have a much more expensive thing come up and you're just like, God damn, why did I try to do something for myself? This was stupid.
Exactly. That's what I went through.
Yeah.
That's a stupid thing. That's just not something that we should know better in our 30s, man. We just should.
I ordered a guitar off Reverb, right? So, you know, is there, it looks like, I don't know anything about this. It could be a piece of shit, but I reached out to a bunch of people that know about guitars and I was like, does this look good? Is there a problem with it? Is this going to be fucked up? And everyone's like, it's probably fine. It's also not that expensive. And I disagree with their assessment.
What was it? It was like $800, right?
Yes.
That
would be the most expensive guitar I own because I buy shit guitars.
Oh, see, I'm shit at guitar, and I buy nice guitars to make myself feel better.
That's how life goes. You'll never become a rock and roll dude because your toilet keeps leaking into the wall.
Well, let's keep this toilet leaking. I think we got a lot of ground to cover in this particular episode. So why don't we talk about some bits and pieces of. Oh, what's that called? It's metal news. Let's talk about the metal news of the week. I think we have two very... I think the riff.
I think that what would help your money problems is maybe if you invested a little bit. Perhaps you can invest in a cryptocurrency. Maybe that's your thing.
You know, I've seen a lot of people make a mint from crypto. I find it personally distasteful, but I am... in dire financial straits at the moment, so maybe that would be good. Sell me on this.
All right,
seen people completely devastate themselves getting involved in cryptocurrency.
No. Listen. The last couple weeks, I made $80 in profit, and then I lost $100. It's awesome. Okay, get into it. If you don't have the Coinbase app, do it. Throw all of your free available money that you need for things that you don't really need, like what, medical expenses and gas and heat and all that bullshit. And nah, man, just put that shit on Shiba or Doge and just hope to God that, you know, the next bump is coming, boys. It's gonna, buy in the dip, all right? Just dump all your money when everything's failing. Are you sold?
Sure. Jordan. Yes. I want a impartial third party to sell me on crypto.
Well, we'll pretend that I'm selling you on crypto. And, you know, if it's one of those things where you want to get into, but Dogecoin or all these other made-up things, they're not metal enough for you.
That's been my problem. That's been exactly my problem, because all the Dogecoin or whatever, it's like this is some Reddit loser nonsense, right? It's
poser stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't want to quote, like, help people with charity with your cryptocurrency, as we talked about a few weeks ago with Randy Blythe and Des Fafarararas. Chakra Coin.
Yeah, Chakra Coin, yeah.
They're doing great things for the community at writ large.
They're really helping, quote, people. You can now invest in Megadeth Coin. This is the news.
We got to talk about like the tag they're using to describe the coin. Yeah.
So they tweeted and Instagrammed and all this stuff. Megadeth coin is here. This is how it's written. It's $ capital M, capital E, capital G, capital A. So I guess $ mega is mega. How it's exactly. everyone is saying Smega, or, you know, Smegma.
Smega!
And that's how we're going to refer to it from now on. It's not dollar sign Mega or Mega. It's Smega.
Smegma coin.
So, Smega, the official cryptocurrency of Megadeth and our community, is available now. By buying, holding, and transacting with Smega, fans will gain access to exclusives and premium benefits. Cyber Army members that also hold Smega will unlock additional exclusives, access, and offers. As a thank you to the Cyber Army, we're gifting Smega to all our premium, deluxe, and free members. So I guess everyone paying money to be a fan of Megadeth, you know, is the same as people who don't. Click the link to claim your Smega now, and it is a link to their website where you get a slightly bit more of information, where it lays out how do you get some Smega. Not a Cyber Army member? Getting Smega is easy. First, create an account. Once your account is created, search for Smega, and it will take you to the official Smega coin page where you can purchase coins. It's recommended you hold at least 10 Smega to get access to exclusive content, special tour access, Q&As, hangouts with the band, and special items. We have some special things coming up soon for Smega holders.
So this isn't like the way that normal cryptocurrencies work, and that it's entirely speculative and you're hoping that the value goes up so you can flip it and buy cocaine on the dark web, right? This is like itchy and scratchy dollars.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it is a real, and you know, real in quotes, cryptocurrency that by having some, you could also maybe get a link to have a Q&A with whoever is the drummer for the band in the next 10 minutes.
Huh. That doesn't sound very good to me, to be honest.
No, it doesn't. looking at this website where I guess where Smega lives, it currently says the price is $0.533.
So for $20, you can have 10 Smega coins?
I think so. I don't know how any of this works. It's all nonsense. None of it's real. And don't give your real money to Dave Mustaine.
I guess if you already have multiple paid tiers for being a fan of your band, this is the next logical step. Like, how can you gouge your biggest supporters just a little bit more?
I mean, they sold an NFT for $18,000 recently, so sure.
Do we have any info on who bought that, or is that another like money laundering situation?
Yes. The piece, dubbed Vic Rattlehead Genesis, featured the Megadeth logo and the band's iconic mascot revolving in opposite directions for 6 seconds. $18,000.
Fucking awesome. Cool. I would love to know who purchased the Vic Rattlehead GIF.
I could tell you, some asshole.
I'm just going to go right click and save it right now, and then I can have it too.
No, you can't do that.
It's against the law. I'm going to contact the proper authorities on this, which there definitely are.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. No, I think that's cool. I think this is a neat thing. And, you know, knowing that Megadeth is on the front wave of this, I can only imagine that every Z-tier band is going to follow suit. Havoc is going to do the same exact shit.
I hope that, gosh, like all the bands we talk about on the show, they have their own cryptocurrency by the end of it. And I want to trade all that shit.
Yeah, like Tommy Vex is surely working on Vexcoin right now. Like, you can set your watch to it. That is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, the way he tried to rename his own band kind of looked like how cryptocurrencies get named. So it's just sort of the logical conclusion at this point.
Yeah, that all checks out. I don't think this really makes any sense for, let's say, a fan base that we could consider to be a little bit older in years. But we'll see how it plays out. I think that maybe we'll be surprised.
I feel like I've described what crypto is to every boomer that had ears this Thanksgiving, but I don't know, Dave. I'm sure you really got something going with this one.
I mean, that's the thing, though. You might have described how it generally works, but Dave Mustaine has thrown in a wrinkle here in that it doesn't seem to work the way that others do, and instead it's used for a 10% discount in the Megadeth merch store.
It's like you said, it's the itchy and scratchy money. We've, you know, yeah. It's just, well, it's trading at 53 cents, so, you know, that's a lot better than Shiba or Doge ever did.
Well, in that case, I'm going to take all the proceeds from my house sale and invest it all in Smega.
Yeah. The great news is that it's about a $24,000 market cap. So, yeah, I'm sure you guys are all going to become millionaires from just one.
All right. I think we ought to play some music. We're surely 15 minutes deep right now, right?
Oh, we can't. Give up on some beef in the news first. There's some beef that has been sizzling all over Twitter. We just got to talk about that real quick, and then we'll get to the music.
All right. You know I can't say no to beef.
Mm-mm. Where all is right. it? It's on Twitter. And who is it? It's the band Every Time I Die. You guys have heard of them, right?
Yeah, they've been at it for 1,000 years. Long-running band. Buffalo's finest. I think they're Buffalo, right?
I think yes. That's right. And every time Jordan and I go see a opening band in Rhode Island, it's a very clever pastiche of this band in the way that it's exactly like everything they've ever done.
What's going on in the Every Time I Die camp?
It started out with the band claiming that the frontman, Keith Buckley, I'm saying that right?
Yeah,
he's taking a break for a little while, just his own mental health break. And they used it as a way to kind of push how important mental health is and how everybody needs breaks from time to time. And it's just as important as physical health and yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, everybody congratulated the band for their stance on this. And, you know, they promised that they would go to these remaining shows without Keith at the front. I guess the band was just going to go play shows without any singer. And
I think they said, like, we want you guys to just, you know, crowd surf on stage, you know, yell some lines in the mic and crowd surf off, and we'll do an entire show that way.
That sounds cool, right? No problem.
I mean,
with that.
I think if there were a band that could pull that off, they could probably do it.
I mean, they have very, like, strong fans. People love them. They have their, like, yearly Christmas shows in Buffalo that people fly across the country to go to. So you get your fervent fans to be like, this is your chance to, like, sing songs with us. People would go nuts for it, and it would be just, like, one big party, which is kind of, like, their shtick anyway, is, you know, yeah, we're a heavy band, but, you know, we're going to party tonight.
We like to party.
Yeah,
we like to party.
We do, don't we? So the band had made this statement, and I believe it was on December 3rd. And just a few hours after that was put out, Keith Buckley, the man himself, the subject of the conversation, got on Twitter himself, and he clarified some things. And I have those comments in front of me if you guys want to hear what they are.
I do.
Okay, then let's go for it. Keith Buckley on Twitter says, now that I have seen the quote-unquote official statement, which is already a bad sign, indicating that ETID is finishing the tour without their singer, I think I'm ready to tell you all a little bit about exactly why my mental health has had to become a priority over Every Time I Die. And trust, I have receipts.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. While meditating in a side room yesterday, I overheard
That's just one of those things that it's a line that's going to stick with me forever. Like, I was meditating in the side room.
Yeah, like which side room?
You know,
I was in the fermentarium with Professor Plum.
I was in the deprivation chamber. While meditating in a side room yesterday, I overheard my own brother tell an outsider that Every Time I Die had been in talks to replace me this entire time. I thought they were my biggest supporters, but Jordan had lied. Not you, Jordan, Keith's brother, Jordan. Just, you never lie. You're a good boy. But Jordan had lied. His concern was a cruel trick. Their statement is proof. Traveling separately, away from alcohol, and the behaviors of those who choose to drink has brought me peace of mind and has made me the best performer I have ever been. I love the Every Time I Die community and finally felt like I was giving back in a meaningful way. and I will continue to. Being ostracized from a band I have built for 20 years because I made a decision to do whatever it took to be a good human being hurts me deeply. But trust me when I say I am the most mentally fit I have ever been. This decision was made to protect myself from my own sibling. Wow. So it's not just band beef, it's also like family beef.
Yeah, that's pretty deep to just be tossing off there on the Twitter. Seems like his feelings are genuinely hurt. He suspected that there was some kind of sinister subterfuge going on behind the scenes, and he just he went out there and yelled it to the shit posters rather than trying to have a conversation with his own brother.
Yeah. Usually these things should be handled in a phone call. But going this route, it's kind of a sign of just how deep this goes and how pissed off he is. I think it's like the mature, correct thing to do? No. I mean, ideally everybody should handle this kind of shit indoors, but do I think it's fun as hell to talk about it and to see the drama unfold before me when it's none of my business? Absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
hell yeah, brother.
Of course. So I'm not an impartial party. I'm always going to tell bands to like air out their dirty laundry when it comes to this shit, because it gives us, the little people, something to talk about.
Absolutely. You know, that is really a kind of a humanitarian kind of thing to do. Jordan, what are your thoughts vis-a-vis this Every Time I Die situation?
I think all of this probably could have been handled a better way and not publicly. And it's probably just a lot of misunderstanding, I would think, because that wasn't the end of it. There has been some updates since those initial statements.
What are you seeing? What's the latest news?
So on top of all this going on, the band was also on tour with 68. And 68 had to drop off the tour because they have a positive COVID test result. So I think those last couple of shows are really going to be canceled because Every Time I Die tweeted out again, "We apologize to the fans this weekend for the cancellation of the remaining three shows of the Radical tour. Keith Buckley is a crucial member of Every Time I Die, and we apologize if our previous statement made it seem as if he was in recovery or came off as insensitive to the issues at hand. We are working on things privately now. Please give us a moment, and we will see you at TID the Season," which is their Christmas shows that they do up in Buffalo. And Keith quote tweeted it saying, "I'll be there."
All right. That seems like all of this could have been avoided pretty well.
So beef squashed behind closed doors. Like, it sounds like a phone call happened and they were just like, "What the fuck, man?" And they figured it out.
And maybe fans shouldn't be as quick to respond to things and go all out saying, "No, there is no Every Time I Die without Keith," or "Keith is wrong," or blah, 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 blah. Everyone just needs to not be on the internet for a little while and have discussions like human beings.
Have you ever had a friend that like got sober? Like they were kind of a drunk and they got sober a little bit later in life?
No.
Oh.
They usually just stay totally unsober until I stop talking to them.
That's true. This is just from my very small sample size, but people that I've dealt with personally, this is not like a blanket statement, that have suddenly gotten sober, like, which is a genuinely good thing to do. For some reason, they are like a raw bundle of nerves for a long amount of time, where they are doing real, real twitchy stuff, really, really easily upset, really making rash decisions. Likely due to this huge lifestyle change. So I can kind of see somebody being on edge now that they're trying to, you know, with all of their willpower to make a big life change, and everything feels like it's a personal attack. So I could maybe see how that something that was maybe a little bit more innocuous would seem like a grand conspiracy.
All well, I mean, is that I wouldn't want to fight with someone who is also a professional wrestler and is a giant, scary man who wears a monocle. That's Andy true. From Every Time I Die.
Yeah.
AKA the Butcher.
The sexiest man in metal. Wait, no, he was the runner up. Sorry.
He was robbed is what you mean.
He was. I don't know. This all seems like, maybe going forward for the next year or two, you might see additional blow ups, but, ideally the band can keep it together to continue on, because I don't see any of these guys, pursuing a job outside of this.
This is the metal version of, instead of this meeting could have been an email, this email could have been a meeting.
Yes, absolutely. I think we could probably leave it at that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that's all the stuff that's important enough to talk about this week. We can get into the meat and potatoes of the show. We're done with the green beans. Let's get into it, shall we? I want to hear what you guys thought were the best possible tracks of 2021.
All right. Who wants to go first on this one?
Who went first on the last one?
Fuck, man. I don't know. Jordan? Was it Jordan?
You guys always pick me for these things. I'm always the first one. I don't know what to do. We're going to pick Jordan. So here we go. First song I'm going to pick is, and this is a biased pick because I had an awesome interview with the guy for, I think the interview that we posted was a shade under 2 hours. And in reality, the interview was just like us talking for like an extra 40 minutes after that. But it's going to be Chemist off their new album, Deceiver. And the song that I like the most off is the last song. And I actually have seen other people just online saying that this is their favorite song as well. And it's The Astral Road. And I kind of think it's the band at their best. It is a combination of like slow and fast and melodic, but heavy. And I think I really like the harmonies. I think this is where they really knock it out of the park and just make an awesome song.
Yeah, this one is a really great song. I feel like it's a little bit inappropriate though, because this being the last track on the album is a total perfect closer. Has everything that you want there to be your closing track. And we fucked up. We're putting it at the beginning, but well, deal with it.
Yeah, the whole point of this show is to fuck everything up and be as sloppy as possible. So we're gonna open with a closer. This is The Astral Road by Chemist. Thank you. that was The Astral Road by Chemist. That's what I said before I started the song.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I dig that. I dig this record. This band, I don't want to, like, ruffle any feathers. They're good. That's it. They're good.
Well, I think I also like them because there are some other bands who are maybe similar sounding. You might have like a Spirit Adrift or a Pallbearer. And I like those bands too. I just think that there's something a little bit more special with Chemist. There's just a little extra level of talent and songwriting that just make each song that much better. And they're also not like, we wear leather jackets. You need to listen to our album on a cassette tape. We're retro.
And I mean, I appreciate Chemist because, you know, on top of the talent, which is definitely there, they do seem to historically have a bit more grit than some of the bigger doom bands like your Pallbearer, et cetera. You know, I like grit, man. I have it in my toothpaste. I eat it for breakfast. Grits.
That's charcoal.
Is that what that is?
Charcoal activated toothpaste to make your teeth extra white because you're actually grinding down the enamel.
Ah, yes. You know, because if you want to get white teeth, you got to use black paste.
That's okay. The enamel comes back.
My sink looks pretty metal after I brush with it, though.
No, I agree with you. Out of like that kind of crop of the new wave of, I don't know, doom, this is my favorite band of them.
Yeah, man. I mean, they're a great clean rock band, of course. But like, you know, I Papa likes him some grime. It's just how it's got to be. But you're gonna hate me for saying that because neither of the songs I'm featuring have any grime whatsoever. They're very clean.
All right. Well, let's because you know, generally when we're talking about music on here, we're playing music on here, not talking about music because the music we talk about is uniformly god awful. But the music we play on this show is, you know, I don't want to like color anybody with a certain paintbrush, but it's grimy shit for nerds. And none of your selections have any of those things in there.
No, not at all. I've listened to plenty of grimy metal during 2021, but it's just not the shit that went on my car radio 100 times in a row. You know, it's not the stuff that I was singing songs and tapping to in my head. It was stuff like what I'm about to feature. So a couple years ago, I got privy to this odd little band called Sleep Token. And if I could describe them in the best way possible, I would say that they are pop music that gents.
It jets, you say?
It gents. It gents, gents, man. Yeah.
Okay.
It has a low open string that you just whack with your pick, and it makes a sound that prog nerds like.
Now, I will tell you that I am not super familiar with this band. I listened to this record after you talked about this in our DMs, and the song that you've selected, you know, it's real pretty. But it's missing something that I kind of want, which is to say, a heavily processed Imogene Heap voice going like, "What you say?"
Now that was a song I liked a lot from the album. It's called Fall For Me, and it's like a very obvious pastiche of that Imogene Heap song that we all remember from the OC shooting scene meme from like 100 years ago for like ancient geriatric millennial internet nerds. But yeah, this was just not something I typically listen to. And as someone who has been trying to get into bringing up my vocals a bit, I think the guy in Sleep Token is like the best singer of all fucking time, like better than people on the radio making millions of dollars over him. And he has the talent to do that kind of music. But instead, he decides to be an anonymous weirdo who wears a cloak and a mask and, you know, hang out with metal dudes who, for the most part, probably don't like his music.
You know, sometimes we like to place obstacles in front of our success. Well, let's go ahead and hear a little bit of the Sleep Token then. This track you've selected is Alkaline.
a while, something changes, and she's changing me. It's too late for me now, I am altered. There is something beneath. She's not acid nor alkaline, caught between black and white, not quite either day or night. She's perfectly misaligned, I'm caught up in her design and how it connects to mine. I see in a different light the objects of my desire. Let's talk about chemistry, cause I'm dying to melt through to the heart of the molecules, to the particles part like holy water, if anything. She's an undiscovered element, either born in hell or heaven sent.
Say. I want everybody to listen to that specific Sleep Token track after they listen to the show.
Yeah, you very much should. At some point, someone in your life is going to get shot by me, and I'm going to play that track when they fall.
That inversion of that bit with the Lonely Island on SNL might be the last funny SNL bit I've ever seen.
It's just one of those pop music bands that I like, and it's not a performative appreciation for Carly Rae Jepsen like you're going to see around the scene. Nope, I like Sleep Token.
Knitting that middle ground, which means that once again I am the stanky weirdo of this show,
and that's how we like you.
It's okay. I don't mind being the guy that smells a little bad. I want to start my selections off with a band that we featured years ago. This band is called Bummer. They're out of Kansas City. We declared them the best unsigned band out of Missouri. And in this last year, they are no longer the best unsigned band in Missouri because they signed themselves to Thrill Jockey, which Ooh. Is pretty big.
I mean, it's big and cool and nice, but now we don't get to... you know, enjoy them as a band that doesn't fuck with labels.
Yeah, I mean, now they're fucking weak poser shit, right? But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're mainstream pop music now, just like I'm playing for you guys.
Fucking floating in the mainstream, you fucking loser. Anyway,
why don't you go fucking eat shrimp cocktail with Adele in Hollywood?
Jordan, do you remember this band?
Nope.
All right. Well, They're noise rock. They've got a cruel sense of humor. Their sound is pretty harsh for being, you know, rock and roll essentially. The record is called Dead Horse, and this track that I selected is called Barn Burner, parentheses, You Boys Quit Whipping Those Whips. This track because it sounds like they're falling down a hole the entire time.
I mean, that's the best kind of effect possible.
This record's real good. I recommend if you're gonna check this out, you know, a couple of other tracks that are real good. Magic Cruel Bus is excellent. And you can't go wrong with the song I Want to Punch Bruce Springsteen in the Dick.
No wonder this band got signed.
Good band, good band.
They have it, as you can tell. Their name is Bummer, but their music is anything but. Very cool band, good find.
That brings us back to 1/365 Days of Horror.
Hi. I suppose at this point, being on the show 5 years, we could just say Jordan. I think it's fine. I think people know.
It's like a formal thing, you know? It's like your proper name.
So the second song I'm picking for the year is Drop Dead Gorgeous, Hey, now you get why I said that at the beginning of the show, by, I hesitate to say it's a band because it's not really a band, it's Andre from Pagefire. Now, do you guys know what Pagefire is?
No, what the fuck is this?
That's that thing they used to make with websites in the 90s.
Yes.
That's CJB.net. So, like I said, Pagefire isn't a band, really. It is a YouTube page that has, at this point, 82,600 subscribers. And I guess what they're most well known for. The videos that get the most views are like how to make slam, how to make speedcore, how to make Christian black metal. And these things get like 120,000 views, and it's all like comedic, funny type stuff. And other than that, they do, you know, here's this pop song in different styles and that sort of thing, which whatever, that makes people happy. But this guy, Andre, also just puts out songs in all sorts of different genres, like anything you could think of. He'll just make a song or two and it's on Bandcamp. Or in my case, the song showed up on my Spotify, like recommended for this Discover Weekly. And usually that's just like, yeah, I know all this stuff, but this is something I'd never heard of, didn't know who it was. Gave it a shot, and I actually really like the song. It is kind of in the style of 80s, like, goth rock, like, not too far off from something like Susie and the Banshees, that sort of thing. And it's just kind of stuck with me this entire year after hearing it, and it is good, and it is different, and it's not a band, but it's a neat little song.
Yeah, out of all the things we've got here, I think this one threw me for the biggest loop, because I was not familiar with this fella at all. Let's listen to some Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Dead Gorgeous from, what is it, Andre from Pagefire?
Yes, yeah. That's the music you smoke a cigarette to, and you take one step this way, and then one step that way, and then take another puff of your cigarette.
Right. While looking
down,
the
only way I know how to dance.
Flipping your hair out of your face, yeah.
Interesting. We have a YouTube guy who can make music then. Huh.
This is an abomination. It's an affront to God.
Giordo. Not Giordo. Fuck. Sorry.
I mean, yeah, I'm still here. What do you want?
Sorry about that. Breno.
Oh.
We got too many O's going on. I'm getting confused. You have your final selection here. This is a record that I have been seeing a ton of people dap up over the last few months. What can you tell us about this?
So I actually haven't heard the whole record. Like, I've just never sat down with the album this whole year. But this had this one particular song had come on my radar months ago. My good internet friend Kat Jones started a podcast called Hot Blooded, and this was around the time I had started my own podcast, and everybody started a fucking podcast because it was like pandemic podcast time. And
bunch of Johnny come latelys.
I heard her do this excellent interview with the one Chris Esfandiari. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm probably not, but Chris Esfandiari is the front lady for a one King Woman, as well as Miserable and Dalmatian and Sugar High, Nightcrawler, and a billion other projects. She's pretty much like a professional musician in the fact that she just lives and breathes music all the time. It's all she ever does. And she was talking about all the shitty situations she's been in, everything like that. So I went digging around for her music. I've known who King Woman was for a long time, but I never really got too into it or checked it out just because I have terrible ADHD. I don't know what else to say. But this one particular song just ended up on my playlist. It's called Morning Star from their latest album, which I don't even... Oh, it's Celestial Blues. I was about to be like, I don't even know what the album's called. Because it's just, dude, it's like, you know, we're living in the in the playlist era. And I am too. I don't often sit down with albums too often. I just grab random songs. But this one was stuck in my head a lot. Like, I would be singing this one at work while doing anything for forever. It was just, it had a great groove to it. It had an awesome doom kind of riff. It had a great progression. I really liked the track. And I'm stoked to share it with you guys if you're willing. If you're not willing, I'll just leave right now.
All right, well, let's listen to Morningstar from King Woman then. We'll be right back. Yeah, I think the thing that I'm struck by with this band is how theatrical they are. Like, this is very much a production.
Yeah, I was kind of, you know, that was something that really surprised me, because the last time I heard some King Woman music, maybe it just didn't hit quite as much. But something about this song, the way it all came together, I think it should be a lot more popular than it is on, say, something like YouTube. Maybe on YouTube, it's released by Relapse Records, and it has probably like 100,000 views on it, which is pretty good, especially for our scene and the music that we like. But I don't know. I feel like this one could blow up quite a lot more if more people know about it.
What do you think, Jordan?
I couldn't get over the gimmick in the video, just the face paint and spiky necklace and cigarette with her jabbing herself at the camera. That's all I could focus on.
So I couldn't get over it either, if you know what I mean.
Hey. No, I don't know what you mean. Please tell me.
I think she's a pretty lady and she's very talented, and I hope she makes more music because she's respected as, you know, an individual.
Respected as an individual.
By me and everyone else.
Her autonomy is what does it for you.
Yeah, right. She's got a big sexy brain and she's very creative and makes amazing music.
I like that we waited until about 55 minutes into the show to go ahead and get ourselves in trouble. That's great. That's good.
It's literally always my fault too. That's why I'm on the show. You guys need the scapegoat.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and pull out of the skid here and go back to talking about stanky weirdo music.
Made by hot, nasty dudes.
Hot, nasty dudes. Actually, I don't know if this is made by Hot, Nasty Dudes or not. I don't know anything about this fucking band. I'm assuming that, yes, it's just some fucking weirdo in Quebec. The band is called Batard. Years ago, they sent me a mini CD, which is like, you know, a 3-inch in diameter CD in the mail. I listened to it and I thought it was fucking awesome. And then out of nowhere, 4 years later, they release a full length. This is black metal, bit crushed with clean guitar lines and surf guitar melodies. And it's kind of all over the place. It really kind of defies categorization, and I like it a lot. The track I selected is Demi Jour, which means somewhat day. It's got wicked cool vibes. That's what I got to say about it.
We'll be right back.
I really like this track because, just objectively speaking, it's fucking insane. It's all those things. It's all those things you said put together. I mean, if you just go on the Bandcamp page, batard.bandcamp.com, they describe themselves as black/punk/noise/electronic/lo-fi/from Canada.
The last one's the weirdest one of all.
Right, it's the craziest possible thing that could a musician could do is be from Canada.
Or it's the one that makes the most sense. And after you see that, and you're going, oh, okay.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah, I really don't know anything about this band, and I kind of want to keep it that way because I just like what they do, and they could easily ruin that by talking.
Right, we don't want to go on their Metal Archives page and see what they've been up to.
Last thing in the world I want to do. That's easily my favorite track of the year. Cause I have no taste.
Hey, we did it. We got through all of our favorite songs.
But we're not done here. Folks, if you have a favorite song, I'd like you to share it with us. You can put it in the comments. You can put it on social media. You know, go ahead and reply to us on this post or whatever. Like, you just let us know. I like to hear. I'm not going to listen to your favorite record of the year because that's a big commitment to make. No. But I'll listen to a song.
Well, I'm going to give everybody the gift of a goodbye. We had a nice long show. It's time for us to let everybody go. Any closing thoughts for everybody?
Music, sometimes okay.
Sometimes. Not usually, though. Stop sending us emails.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Keep it metal. We will see you guys next week. And hey, thanks for all the good music this year. Take care. All right, fellas. All right. Cool show. Good job. Good to have the crew back together. Definitely cool. Jordan, what do you got there, man? Hey, shit, man. Is that loaded?
Burning cathedrals, turning the skies into glass, and the echoing futures are the buckling sutures that hold shut the wounds of the past. So won't you fall for me? Won't you fall for me? Through a fractured existence, won't you fall for me? Won't you fall for me? From reality to the rhythm of eternity, won't you fall for me?
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.